Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright podcast for the week of Monday, August the 30th, 2021. I'm Jay Greg Danny here. Joining me this week is Sarah Maley. Sarah, thanks for joining us. Hard to believe that we're talking about the end of August, and September is very quickly approaching us. And for some of you may be listening to this, it is already September, as September 1st will come later this week. And September, you know, historically, for the market, is just one of those months that always invokes a bit of weakness in the market, and for good reason. We'll take a look at some numbers around historical Septembers and what we've seen there. But August historically as well is a month that has been marked with weakness over time, as August has been one of the worst performing months historically on record, with September being right there as another one of the worst performing months over the years. But nonetheless, here we are, just a couple trading days left in the month of August. And so far, the S&P 500 is up about 3% for the month, which is a very strong month in general, but especially for the month of August. And, you know, it's doing so with generally broad participation in the market, and that has resulted in a number of new highs across the board when we look at a lot of different indexes, Sarah, not just the S&P 500.
Yeah, so like you said, the S&P 500 today, we saw the 25-point chart breakout. Let's see, that's given now. It's 6 consecutive buy signal. It's trading at all-time highs now. Even looking to the chart of the Dow, you know, we saw that chart hit an all-time high back on August 13th. It pulled back a little bit. If you look at the chart, the default chart, that is, it seems to be forming an unofficial triangle pattern. With today's move, the chart is now one box away from returning to a buy signal at 35,550. So today added an X there at 35,500. And then also looking to the chart of the NASDAQ 100 index, I pulled up the 150-point chart. It's the longest, kind of like the biggest 50,000 foot view we can get. So looking at it just from a super long-term perspective. And today we also saw that chart break out today to 15,600. So that chart maintains 3 consecutive buy signals, but it is now trading at new all-time highs as a result of today's action.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, you look at, you know, whether it be the NASDAQ 100, which is, you know, more tech heavy, but certainly the S&P 500 is an index that is still tech heavy in the sense of about 24% of the movement in the S&P 500 can be attributable to the technology names and some of the mega cap names, which have been over the years very, very strong. Technology, certainly, if you look, you know, on a year-to-date basis, has performed well, up over 20%, but it hasn't been the best performing sector. It's been very, very strong, but there's been a lot of sectors. As a matter of fact, if you look at the 11 broad economic sectors, you've got 9 out of the 11 that are up double digits this year. And one is very, very close to that being utilities. Staples has lagged from a relative performance perspective, but is still in positive territory. So when we talk about broad participation, that's exactly what we've seen this year, is a lot of sectors have done well. Even in the month of August, you saw a lot of sectors, the vast majority of sectors, 10 out of those 11, producing positive returns in the month of August, with energy being the lone sector to show, at least so far, with, you know, not completely through the month, but at least so far, is the lone sector that has been down a bit. So far, you've seen, again, staples being the worst performing from an absolute perspective, up about 6%, all the way to financials, that's up 32%. So we've seen a lot of participation. We've seen some leadership trends in the market in terms of performance differentials. And that's, you know, so when we look at a month or a year like this, or even you think about a month like September, some of those sector dispersions can be large in any given month, not just on a year-to-date basis. And when we think about that, that for us is really a lot of potential opportunity to find excess return in the market. If we get years, if we get environments where you see large dispersions in returns, those are typical years that are conducive to trend following, to relative strength type of strategies, as, you know, we'll let relative strength identify and drive us towards that strength. With that said, as we move into the month of September, again, a month that invokes a lot of fear, I think, in a lot of investors' minds, just because it is historically one of the worst months on record. If you look over the past 90 plus years, the S&P 500 has produced a loss more often than not. However, in about 43 out of the past 93 years, the S&P 500 has been up. On average, if you look at all of that time period, the S&P has averaged about a 1% loss in the month of September alone, where, as you see, historically, things like gold, things like crude oil, things like bonds have all produced positive average returns in the month of September. With that said, though, when you go in and you drill in, as we're talking about some of these sector dispersions, there can be pretty wide sector dispersions, even in a month like September, that is historically a weak month for the market. On average, going back to 1999, there's about a 24% difference between the best and the worst performing sector in the month of September alone, with precious metals being the sector that has shown up there the most, which is not surprising given that metals in general had tended to show some strength in the month of September. But you've also seen other sectors like gaming, for instance, last year was the best performing sector. You see textiles in 2019, media in 2018. So certainly if we're able to identify and drill in and look at some opportunities in there, we're dealing in an environment as we're headed into September that is historically weak. But we're headed into that this year, at least, on a generally positive note from an equity indicator perspective. We're doing so on a positive note, as you know, Sarah, you mentioned coming into September at new all-time highs. And you're doing so with about 82% specifically of the S&P 500 stocks still in positive trends today. With that said, certainly looking underneath the surface for some opportunities as we head into September is always something that's going to be important. And Sarah, as we look at what we're seeing on the sector rankings today, where are some of the strongest sectors right now based on those rankings?
Yeah, so just looking at the Dolly long-term rankings, cyclicals remain in that top spot. We've seen tech move up to the second position, which is actually now tied with financials, 174 tally signals. So those two, there's still a good amount of cushion between number one and number two. But what I noticed on this ranking is the fact that we have technology and financials tied, and then we have the fourth and fifth ranking are also tied. So industrials and basic materials have 160 signals in both in their favor. And then moving down to 10th and 11th, we see staples and energy separated by one signal. So a lot of battles there that we can watch play out. We've seen technology come back in the rankings after a rough start to the year. Energy, which did rank number one just not too long ago, has fallen all the way down to the 11th position. So again, we want to overweight those strong sectors. So cyclicals, technology, financials, industrials, basic materials all rank, within the top half. And again, that's from a relative perspective, as Jay mentioned, that we have seen some absolute performance. Today, we've seen XLC hit a new all-time high and it broke a ninth consecutive buy signal. On Friday, we saw XLF hit a new all-time high. Staples are at all-time high, using XLP as a proxy as its real estate. So there are opportunities there, within these sectors. But again, just from a long-term perspective, using our Dolly rankings, we're going to overweight cyclicals, tech, and financials. Industrials, again, and basic materials are also in that top half, but those top three being cyclicals, tech, and financials. So I think, we've seen cyclicals remain at the top ranked asset class for, I believe, all of this year, if not the majority of it. I need to check myself on that. But, like I said, there's still a gap there between cyclicals and tech that we'll continue to watch and see if tech's able to, come back into that top position, which, it did hold for quite some time before falling out of favor. But it looks like we're set up good. We see those leaders and we just want to make sure that we're overweighting those leading sectors in our portfolios.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point to end on, is that, we continuously finding those leadership trends and pushing the portfolios towards that strength. And as things rotate out of favor, sort of like you mentioned, energy moving out of the top half of the ranks, Energy had a great run for a while, but we've seen that relative strength now weaken a bit. So as we head into the month of September, again, a month that has historically been a rather weak month for the market, there still presents a number of opportunities out there in the marketplace to identify those leadership trends in portfolios. So if there's anything that we can do to help aid or guide any of those areas of the market or where to find some of that information on the website, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Happy to have those conversations with you. But as always, we appreciate you joining us and look forward to talking to you next week.